Well, good afternoon, those of you that are here. Very glad to see that somebody came. Now, why in the world would people not be here today when it's so beautiful? They can't complain about the weather. Well, maybe they're out enjoying it. That's possible. I'm going to do something that I rarely do. I'm going to tell you the title of the message before I give you anything so you can write it down in your notes, if you take notes, and think about it if you don't take notes. The title of the message is called Wait on the Lord. Four words, wait on the Lord. And now I'd like you to open your Bibles, something that I regularly do. Start off with a scripture. Let's go to Matthew 13, and I want to read in context, out of context. I guess we would call this out of context because I'm not going to give you a lot of scriptures around it. But let's read Matthew 13, verse 17. Matthew 13, verse 17. This is Jesus Christ speaking, I'll give you that. And he says, "For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." What in the world was Jesus Christ talking about? Well, short answer to that is he was there. He was the Son of God, and he was speaking to them the Word of God. There are a lot of people that were in the past, prophets, righteous men, that's what the scripture said. They wanted to see it too, but they didn't get to. Why didn't they get to see what those people in the presence of Jesus Christ were seeing? Well, there's a simple answer to that too. It wasn't the right time. It wasn't the right time. You know, you look in the Old Testament, you see all those prophets that wrote, Moses among them. There were prophets, there were wise men in the past who interacted with that being that we call the Word. We know that the Word became flesh and became Jesus Christ. So there were people that saw in Jesus Christ, but there weren't many. And at the time of Christ's first coming, all the human beings that were near Him were in fact looking at Him and listening to Him. And they had the opportunity to learn something from Jesus Christ. I want to ask the question again. Why didn't those guys in the past, why didn't they get to do the same thing? And the simple answer is, it wasn't quite yet the right time. I want to say, and I believe, that timing is everything. You can mix the perfect ingredients for the most delicious cake ever. And yet, if it's undercooked or overbaked, that perfect dessert will become a flop. Now, for the guys, some can throw a football 60 yards. But if the receiver and that ball do not connect at just the right time, nothing good will come from the ability to throw the pass 60 yards. Timing is at least, and you got to give this to me, at least it's really important. Now, we all assume correctly that Jesus Christ will return at just the right time. But some actually try to figure out when that time will be. But because the exact time is not given, it's not given in God's Word, they sometimes mess up and they become discouraged. Whoa, he didn't come at the time I thought he should have come. Or, actually, something that's worse, they hurt others who also would like to know when Christ will return. Do we need to know the exact day and hour of Jesus Christ's return? No, of course not. There are plenty of other things we can know and we should know and should do. Now, I said that Jesus Christ came at the right time. Did he? I mean, you know, I said that, but is there any scriptural evidence? Well, let's go to Galatians 4:4. And Galatians 4:4 will tell us something, I certainly hope. Galatians 4:4. Paul the Apostle states, when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. And if you'll check that out in various translations, you'll see that fullness of the time means at the appropriate time, at the correct time, at the right time, at just exactly the right time. Now, I want to go to one other place where the Apostle Paul says almost the same thing. Let's go to Ephesians 1 this time. Ephesians 1 and verse 10, please. Ephesians 1, verse 10. And once again, I'm breaking into the context, but I think that you'll see what it means when I say that in the dispensation, or the giving, that's what it means, in the giving of the fullness of the times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, in Him. Everything will be gathered together in Jesus Christ. But the point I'm making is that Jesus Christ came the first time at exactly the right time. Timing is important. Timing is very important. Brethren, our time is now. We understand this. To those of us to whom much is given, much will be required. We, in God's church, if you have God's Holy Spirit, you're being judged now. But every human being is going to be given his or her chance. When? When will they get their chance? Well, the short answer is at their correct time. Timing is very important. So, you've all listened to me. I can see you listening to me. I see you're hanging on my every word. Oh, I'm looking at Mr. Gardenhire. He's going, so what? So you gave this great intro. So what? So what? Well, okay. Let me tell you, so what. I like to eat properly cooked food, and I also like to watch properly executed football plays. And Jesus Christ came at just the right time. So what? Okay, here's the point. We need to learn. We need to learn to wait on the Lord. We need to not get in such a big hurry. You, or me, may think that things are going all wrong. This just shouldn't happen. Things are really bad. You know, we can get this in our head. But you, or me, we may not have the whole story. It's possible. It's possible that, maybe I'm just talking about myself, but I'm limited. I don't know everything. I may think I know what's going on, but I may miss a little clue, and that clue would open up a whole different side of the story. I want to give you an example of what happened one time when somebody didn't have all the information. Let's go to 1 Samuel. Like the Old Testament, the Old Testament is just filled with stories that we can read and we can learn from and we can apply if the shoe fits, we can apply to ourselves. So let's go to 1 Samuel 13, a perfect example. I don't want to read everything, so I want to fill in some stuff. Saul had been king for a while. He'd been king for a while so that he could get used, or he had gotten used to having people do what he told them to do. Saul had been around for a while. This is not when he first became king, but he'd been around for a while. And the Philistines, you know, the people that lived in that near area, were always a big problem to him. So let's go to 1 Samuel 13 and start reading at verse 5. Then the Philistines gathered together to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots. You know, the revisionist Bible teachers say that that's way too many. They didn't have 30,000. But God's Word says 30,000. So I'm gonna accept that they had 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen. That was a pretty big army. And people... Now, this is a metaphor. but it meant a lot. And people which are as many as a sand on the seashore in multitude, and they came up and they encamped at Mishmash to the east of Beth Avon. Verse 6, when the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, or the people were distressed, they saw this big army, then the people, and the people here, we're talking about the army, the Israelite army, hid in caves, in thickets, in rocks, in holes, and in pits. These guys were not feeling good. They saw the Philistine army and they went, whoa, we're in trouble. And some of the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was still in Gilgal doing something. And all the people followed him, trembling. Okay? Now, here's the point. Saul was in a tight spot, but God had helped him before. He knew that. God had helped him before, and he knew that God could help him again. So he called for Samuel to pray for the army of Israel. 1 Samuel 13:8. He waited 7 days. Saul waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel. Samuel said, I want you to wait 7 days. I'll be there. I'll pray for you. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. You can say scattering or scattered. You can say either one. It would work its way okay in Hebrew. But the problem was the army was really nervous. So what did Saul do? He threw a Hail Mary. I talked to my wife about this. She said she didn't know what a Hail Mary was. All the football players, anybody who watched a football game knows that you throw a Hail Mary when you're going to lose a game and you got to get the guy in the end zone. You're going to lose anyway. If he catches the pass, you win. They lose. Saul threw a Hail Mary. Verse 9, so Saul said, bring a burnt offering and peace offerings here to me. And he offered the burnt offering. Saul, he offered the burnt offering. But who received the offering? It was the wrong receiver. I want to say in my football parlance, it was intercepted. And of course, Saul lost that game. But let's read a little bit more. 1 Samuel 13:10. Now it happened as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering that Samuel came and Saul went out to meet him that he might greet him. And Samuel said, what have you done? Now, how much did he miss it by? A few minutes? An hour? I mean, it wasn't much. What have you done? And Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattering from me and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Mishmash, then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made a supplication to the Lord. The Lord your God. He kind of points out that God is the God of Samuel. But I felt compelled and I offered the burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over the people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Well, if we use that football metaphor, then the Hail Mary pass that he threw was not effective. And he lost the game. He lost the game on a technicality. Because only Samuel was supposed to offer the offering. But I say, and I believe, that it had a lot to do with the timing. If he had only waited a little bit longer, just a little bit more, Samuel would have been there. Samuel could have offered the offering. And everything could have been a whole lot different. Saul may have had a different obituary than the one that's written in God's Word. We too need to wait at times. We need to learn to wait on the Lord. Don't make rash decisions, of course, but you know, you probably know that. You're wise enough to know that. But don't even have, and listen to this, don't even have rash thoughts. Don't let your mind, which you are in charge of, don't let it run off thinking stuff that it shouldn't think. On the internet now, people can say anything, and literally millions can read those things, those rash thoughts. Be sure you want your words to live forever if you place them in cyberspace, because they could live on far beyond you. But even if you don't use a computer and you just think rash thoughts, God, Almighty God, both Father and Son, they know those thoughts. Please turn to Psalm 37. Let's read quite a bit of Psalm 37. Sounds really good. Psalm 37, verse 1, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Eternal and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Eternal. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday." Verse 7, "Rest in the Eternal and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him." Oh, listen to this. "Do not fret because of him who prospers in his own way." Don't fret because somebody is doing well and he's the bad guy. Don't worry about that. "Because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass, don't worry about it. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm." And the harm, if you look up the Hebrew, means sickness. It makes you sick to your stomach. You know, you worry about somebody, the bad guy. The bad guy is prospering. You worry about it enough, you get sick. "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Eternal, they shall inherit the earth." Now here's a disclaimer. I see everybody's going, yeah, so far so good. But here's a disclaimer. If you're in charge of something, anything, a parent in charge of a child, a teacher in charge of a class, a deacon in charge of a broom, president in charge of a cabinet, or whatever, then fulfill your role as best you can. Make the tough decisions. Correct the children or the child. Assign the broom to a helper. Fire the chief of staff and promote whoever you want to. You're in charge. It's your responsibility. I'm not saying don't do what it is your responsibility to do. But if you're not in charge and it is not your responsibility, then don't act like it is. Don't say what should be done. Don't act like you know everything. Don't be full of pride and vanity. You can go to 15 places in the New Testament where Christ said the same thing. Don't act like you know everything. That's not hard to understand. It's really easy because Jesus Christ knows your vain heart. What should we do? Well, look at Psalm 37. Again, verse 9. "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. verse 10, "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." You know who wrote this? This was written by David. And you know what people have accused David of being? He's a poet. He's a musician. He's a singer. He's a wimp. No, he wasn't. He was a man of action. He was a man of war. He couldn't even build the temple because God said he was a man of blood. David saw both sides of the equation. And when he played football, he played a very physical game. But he wrote Psalm 37, verse 11, under the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit. How do we know? How do I know that? Prove that, Miller. Okay, let's go to Matthew 5. Matthew 5, it's not John 5. Let's go to Matthew 5 and read verse 5, where Jesus Christ, talking to his intimate disciples, those people that were going to be given the job of going out and doing a real work, he said in Matthew 5:5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And Jesus said this not because David said it, but because he, the Word, had caused David to say it. But we, brethren, we need to hear it. What do we really know about the problems that are going on in United? You may think you know. Maybe you really do know. Maybe you know. Maybe you know what the problems are that are going on in United. But what can you, without the grace and power of God, what can you actually do about those problems? One thing. You have the ability not to make things worse. Because you control what's up here, or you should. You have the ability and the opportunity and the right not to gossip and, this is a big word, exacerbate the evil. I like that word. Look that up. Big word. You have the right not to exacerbate the evil. You have the obligation to wait on the Lord. Let's read a little more of Psalm 37 to let the words of God sink in. Psalm 37, verse 18. I close my Bible. Did you? Psalm 37, verse 18. Okay. "The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine." You know, you might even think of famine of the word. "And in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. But the wicked will perish. And the enemies of the Eternal, like the splendor of the meadows, shall vanish into smoke. They shall vanish away." Psalm 37, verse 23. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Eternal, and he delights in his way. Though he fall," and we'll all fall, won't we? Because we're all human. "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down." That means he's not going to be left on the ground. He's going to be able to be helped up, for the Lord, or the Eternal, upholds him with his hand. He gives him a hand up. We all fall. We'll all trip. A good man can fall down. A good person can fall down. But God can and will ultimately rescue. Psalm 37, verse 27. "Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints." We're God's saints. They are preserved forever. "But the descendants of the wicked, they shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever." And then let's skip down to verse 34, where the original title came from. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord, and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land when the wicked are cut off. I have seen the wicked in great power. Have you? David says this. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. Brethren, you might think you know. Maybe you really do know. But is it your job to spread your real knowledge all over the place? But the salvation of the righteous is from the Eternal. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Eternal shall help them and shall deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. Why? Because they trust in God. Because they trust in the Eternal. Because they trust Jesus Christ, and they don't trust in their own limited ability to know anything. Brethren, we need to learn to wait on the Eternal.